فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فتوكلوا ان كنتم مسلمين صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We are those people that read the Shahadat of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad and Rasulullah. And as such, we call ourselves Muslims. And Allah defined Muslims in the Quran with certain signs. How do you know someone is a Muslim? How can you recognize Islam? And He has mentioned some of these signs so that we know that this person with this sign, this quality, and this attribute is a Muslim. So at one level we see that there is a claim of being a Muslim. And at the other level, Allah did not say those who say La ilaha illallah are Muslims, but actually those who have these certain qualities that Allah describes in the Quran, where you will see 8 places where Allah describes Islam and attributes a quality to Muslim and says that these are the qualities of a Muslim. And here, I'm not going to mention the 8 signs, just one of this that is in this ayat that I read for you. And this here, again, as you see, is one of the attributes of being a Muslim. According to Allah in the Quran, everyone has their own opinion of what is a Muslim. Fiqh has its own opinion. Aqaid has its own opinion. But when you see the book of Allah and how He describes a Muslim, one of the things, one of the signs that He gives is فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. He says, trust in Allah if you are Muslim. Rely only upon Allah if you are a Muslim. And here we see that one of the signs of a Muslim that you would know is a Muslim is that he has tawakkul in Allah. And through this, you know that he is a Muslim. And if he is a Muslim, then he has a sign of this attribute within him. And you can see that in his life. And when you see the signs Allah has mentioned, just like this that I mentioned for you in this ayat, it is amazing to see that the things that Allah wanted in Muslims, you see, it is so hard for those who claim to be Muslims to adopt those things. And one of the reasons for this would be that obviously Shaitan doesn't want you to have the attributes of a Muslim. See, when we see the goal of Shaitan, he is not afraid or intimidated by you saying La ilaha illallah or Muhammadan Rasulullah. In fact, he himself says it. He himself believes in La ilaha illallah. He's not afraid of you knowing Allah or the Prophet. What he's afraid of is for you adopting the attributes and qualities that come with La ilaha illallah. Because his mission is destroyed not by the words of La ilaha illallah, but by the qualities that they bring in a person.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
That's how his mission is destroyed. So for example, when we see Allah, He says, like say, an example I can give you in the month of Ramadan. Allah says that He has made fasting wajib. And you can read the ayat. Yeah, those people in the back, there's a lot of room in the front.
A lot of room here in the front. Wajib ala
salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Wajib ala salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Ali Muhammad.
Aage badh jaye log.
बच्चे जरा आगे मूव हो अब्बास
फॉरवर्ड
सफी आगे मूव हो
आगे फॉरवर्ड आवाज बलन सलावत
अल्लाहुम्मा
सल्ली अला मुहम्मद एग्जांपल आई कैन गिव यू इज द मंथ ऑफ रमजान फॉर एग्जांपल यू सी Asking in the month of Ramadan, when you see it, Allah says that He has made it wajib on you. And then He gives the reason why. He says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ For that you become muttaqi. And the attribute of taqwa can grow in you. This is the whole idea that Allah is giving, that you fast in the month of Ramadan, so you become muttaqi. Then you see, Shaitan knows that there's one that is the action and then one that is the result. The action is called fasting, the result is called taqwa. Shaitan doesn't stop you from fasting.
Subhanallah.
He does not stop you from fasting. That's why it is said that he's in jail. It's not that he's tied up. He knows you can fast as much as you want. He will come to you after Ramadan on the day of Eid so that the result that comes from fasting is taken away from you.
SubhanAllah.
You see, so to him, that is more important. And hence, when we say La ilaha illallah, he is not intimidated by that. But to get the qualities that Allah is speaking about that comes from Islam, that is what he's afraid of. And one of those qualities you see in a Muslim that defines a Muslim is called Tawakkul. And when we look at the prophets and the Imams, you see that their whole lives, they had complete reliance on Allah. But when we see the lives of people, when we see our own lives, we see that there is a lack of having this attribute in us. We don't see that attribute in us, and it's so hard for us to trust Allah. And on the other hand, it's not that we don't trust. We are ready to trust everyone else but Allah. If you see that, we look at our lives. If someone says, for example, I'm going to give you this much return, right, for your investment, without even knowing him, we say, you know, it's a big company, let's put our money in there. We trust him. We trust all sorts of people. We don't even know them that well, but we trust them. But when Allah says something, you see there is a lack of trust. And really, this is just a reminder for you, because there are those here of the elders who have heard this many times, but sometimes it is a reminder for us and for the kids also who are here that they need to learn what is Islam. Islam is defined by these attributes. If you have them in you, then you are a Muslim. One of those attributes, as I just said, is called trusting Allah. You need to trust Allah. And hence, this is, if you have this attribute, you're a Muslim. If you do not have this attribute, then there is the word of Islam in you, but not the character of Islam. So now, when we look at it, we see that in this case, and in this issue of trust, there are different types of people. And many people go astray on this issue. When we say that you need to trust Allah, there are those people who think that whatever we do and whatever we get, whatever we acquire, is the product of our own hard work. And Allah has nothing to do with it. You will see many people in your life who have this view. And they view that whatever we have is because of our own effort, not because of some higher authority or Allah giving it to us. Then there's another group that goes to the other extreme. This is one extreme. The other extreme goes and says that, no. Whatever we have is from Allah and we don't need to do anything. So their job is to sit at home and say that we just need to trust Allah and Allah will give it. And Allah says, and Islam says, that both these groups are wrong. Both these groups are wrong. Allah says that no. Islam says that you should put the effort and you must make the effort, and then after making the effort and putting in your hard work, then you trust Allah that He will give you the result. So both these things are necessary. First your effort, and then to trust that Allah will give you. And this is how things happen. Now here for my youngsters, you know, let me just give you one historical incident that happened back in the days, in the old times. There was a person who wanted to prove to everyone that Allah gives without asking or without working. He gives without working. He wanted to prove to everyone. So he went to the jungle and said that I will stay here until Allah sends me the risk. Allah, until He sends me the risk, I'll stay in the jungle. You know, one day passed and he was waiting for the risk to come. It didn't come. The next day it passed and still nothing happened, and now he's growing hungry. Now he's hungry, he has nothing to eat now. He's saying, Allah, I know you can do it. You know, so now the third day comes and he sees a man walking with a donkey with some food on the back of the donkey, you know, food stuff. He sees him walking towards him and he says, you see, now I can prove to the world that I don't have to do anything and it's Allah who sends me the risk. And as soon as he thought this, the guy turned walking the other way. And when he saw him walking the other way, he called out to him, hey! The guy looked at him, said, there's a person there. So he came there and he got his food. He ate. And Allah wanted to teach him that Allah gives if you trust Him, but you need to put in the effort, even if you have to say A for it.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Salawat alam.
I mean, that effort, Allah is saying, you put in the effort, and then Allah will give you the result. The result is in Allah's hand. You cannot get the result. You cannot have the result. You cannot make the result happen. It is Allah who gives you the result. Now, this is a question that we need to understand in this issue of what is tawakkul. Allah says that in order to trust anyone, this is our natural habit. We trust people that we know or those who have a good reputation. For example, if someone had an investment, let's say, institution, like investment company, and he asked you to invest your money in him, right? And he will buy the stocks for you, he'll invest it for you. But you see that he works out of his living room. Now, how sure will you be to invest your money in him? You know, you see he's working at his living room or basement, and he asks you to invest all your life savings in him. You'd be like, all right, you know what, it's okay. And you won't do that. You would be scared. And rightly so. Who is this guy? You don't even know him. And he himself doesn't have a reputation. Now, if there's a big company that has a big name and a big reputation, and if you need to invest money in them, you will see it's easier for you to trust them because they have a reputation. And the reason they have a reputation is because they've been in business long enough, and they and people have experienced them, and because of people's experiences with them, you see that they have been honest with them and they have gained the trust of people. So you see, it's easier for you to trust someone who has a reputation. And it's right to do that. It's rightfully so. This is how you must do it. So Allah is saying, based on the criteria that you use in your life, learn how to trust Allah. Learn how to trust by the same criteria you use to make investments in companies, in people. You look at their reputation. Through that, at least learn to trust Allah, not by looking at other people's experiences, but by looking at your own experience. So now with that in mind, now if we ask ourselves a question, for example, if a person is 18 years old, how long has this person of 18 years old being fed by Allah? How long has Allah been giving him rizq? It's a question. What's the answer?
18 years.
18 years? And 9 months. You see, 18 years, not just 18 years, but even before he was born, while he's in the womb of the mother, Allah was feeding him even though the mother did not know he's being fed. I mean, the mother doesn't know when he's being fed, but he's being fed. And Allah is feeding him. Allah is giving him rizq. Now all of us, when we look back at this, we see that all this time he has been giving rizq. Now let's not look at about other people's life. Everyone knows their own life more than anyone else. I don't know what you went through. You don't know what I went through. It will be only assumption on my part to say, what did you go through? It will be only assumption on your part to say, what did I go through? Look at your own self and in your own life. You know what you went through. Now, my brothers and sisters, I just ask you one thing. And you reflect on it and ponder over it. You have lived your life. All these years that you have lived, whatever your age is right now, tell me, all these days Allah has been giving you rizq. Is there any day that you can remember in your own life that Allah has not given you rizq? Is there any day in your own life can you remember looking back that you can say that that day Allah did not give me rizq like he promised he would? All our lives, when we go through them, we see every day of our life, Allah has been giving us rizq. So now, all our lives are a witness that Allah has made his reputation with us.
SubhanAllah.
Never went back on his word. Always gave us the rizq that he promised us. He would do that. And you see, now when it comes to the issue of trust, now Allah is saying, trust me if you are Muslims. Trust me if you are Muslims. So now what happens? And you can analyze your own self when I say this. You know, for the last 15-20 minutes I have been speaking, you have been paying attention to me. And everyone is all ears. And you're all listening. And this audience that you're here, someone comes to you the back, taps you on your shoulder, and gives you a note. He gives you an envelope with a note on it. You open the envelope. I'm speaking, but you open the note, and it just says two words. You're fired. Don't bother coming to work tomorrow. You know, with all the layoffs nowadays, you can empathize with what I'm saying. Now, let's say you got the news in the majlis. Until now, you have been hearing the word of Allah, the word of the Prophet, the word of the Imam. The message that is being given by Allah and His Messenger. You have been hearing that. And at the same time, you got a message from your boss. So on one hand, you have the message of Allah. The other hand, you have the message of your boss. Now, I don't want you to answer this. Answer it for yourself. Tell me. Now that you have read this note, will you have the same attention to the message of Allah that you were having till now from that point onwards? You see, Allah's message is being given. And on the other hand, your boss is giving a message. But the message of your boss is such that now your mind has left the message of Allah, message of the Prophet, message of the Imam, message of Islam, message of your Akhirat, and it has come solely and wholeheartedly to the message of the dunya. Now what's going on in your mind is that what is going to happen with me? What is going to happen with me? How am I going to live my life? What's going to happen next month? The mortgage, the bills, the expenses, the family. You see, understand this. All of a sudden, our whole mind is gone. Now, it's not just you. Now the brother who sits next to you looks at you and he sees you're worried. He says, what happened? He takes the note from your hand. Now he reads the note, you're fired. Now he is not fired, but you see, his attention is also gone. If you ask him, you didn't lose the job, why are you worried? But no, the other guy is losing his dunya. It is so hurtful for you that you are also lost in dunya. I mean, imagine this. What's happening? You are also lost in dunya that this is happening. And everyone who keeps on reading that note, he's also going away from the majlis. At the end, I'll just be speaking to walls here. So my brothers and sisters, imagine. This person, why is he worried? I mean, he just lost a job. Why is he worried? Why doesn't he have the same attention? You see, he needs to analyze his life now. And Allah is telling him, look at your own life. In your own life, when you look back, you will see not a day has passed that Allah has not given you rizq. So what makes you think he's going to stop tomorrow?
Subhanallah.
What makes you think that he's going to stop tomorrow? Did he lose his wealth? Is he going back on his promise? What happened that you think that Allah is not going to give you tomorrow? So why did you leave attention to the message of Allah and went away from there? My brothers, if we can just understand the ayat of Jum'ah that Allah says, وَإِذَا رَعُوا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوَنٍ فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. When they see business and trade and entertainment, they run towards it and they leave you standing alone, O Messenger. Rasulullah is speaking to them. They see a trade caravan come and they run towards it. Over there, at least, there is something to gain. Here, you lost your job. Allah did not promise you a job. My friends, understand this. Allah did not say, I will make sure you have a job. That's not Allah's job. Allah didn't promise you a job. He promised you rizq.
SubhanAllah.
He promised that rizq is going to come to you. And hence, you need to be sure that this promise that Allah made, when you look at His reputation, He has never gone against it in your own life. Don't look at other people's life. Look at your own life. Isn't that enough for us? Then why are we not trusting Allah? Allah says the best proof to trust Allah is your own life.
SubhanAllah.
This is the best proof. By not trusting Allah, it means we don't even know our own life, what we have gone through. Otherwise, if we had known our lives, then we would know that we can only trust Allah. Because He's the only one that we saw in our life who never went back on His promise. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Bari digar ba awaz buland salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, and this is how you see amazing things have become, that the thing Allah promised, there's one thing Allah promised, and there's another thing Allah did not promise. The one thing Allah promised, everyone is worried about. And the one thing that Allah did not promise, no one is worried about. Allah promised rizq. He said, it is my job to give you rizq. I brought you into the earth, I will make sure you're fed. I will make sure that rizq comes to you. This is His promise. So with that, everyone, our whole life is meant and is worried about rizq coming to us. And the thing that Allah did not promise is Jannat. He didn't say that everyone is going to Jannat and heaven. He said, you have to work for it. You have to be worried about it. And the one thing that He promised that is Jannat, no one is worried about. He said, you have to earn your way. You need to do the work. You go out and no one is doing that. But you see, our whole life, since the childhood on up to our old age and retirement, everyone is worried and their whole life is based on rizq. Shaitan has put us on this life that starts with education from our childhood, and that education not for becoming a human, but for getting a degree so you can get money. Whole life is spent on this, whole childhood is spent and youth is spent on this education that is meant for money, not for knowledge. You see, our whole lives are based on the fact that we want to make sure that we get rizq. Now when we look at the lives of those who came from Allah and the example they showed, their whole lives, you see, were based not on earning dunya, but on earning akhirat. And that's how they trusted Allah.
SubhanAllah.
No, the example Allah gave in the Quran. I want you to see this. And you know this example. And I just want to go through this so we can go on from here. One example Allah gave in the Quran, that too of a woman. He gave the example of a woman and He said, look at this example. Look at this example. And then understand. Allah says that at least you're men, right? You can earn your money and do things. This was a woman. And a woman and her husband is leaving her in the middle of nowhere with a baby in her hand. With a baby in her hand. He's leaving her in the middle of nowhere. But there's nowhere that we see that Hajira is complaining to Ibrahim, where are you leaving me? In whose care are you leaving me? Not one time did she complain. She happily let Ibrahim go, knowing there's no food, knowing there are no people, knowing there's no water. Nothing is there. He's leaving her in the middle of nowhere and he leaves her. He leaves her. She does not complain because she knows that her husband is leaving, but Allah is not going anywhere. Allah is not going anywhere. And until now, who was feeding me? Was it the husband or was it Allah?
Subhanallah.
She reached the conclusion that it was Allah who was feeding her. So when Allah is there, I shouldn't be worried. She had so much trust in Allah that now Allah wanted to give her. Allah wanted to give her. But the only issue was that Hajira, if I give you without working, then this example will be set for everyone that you can get from Allah without any effort. So Hajira, run between the two mountains so that you can show that trust only comes after you put in the effort.
Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Understand, Allah is showing that trust. That's why Allah did not leave his deen in the hands of those people who do not trust Allah. Oh, brothers, I said something and I want you to analyze this as much as you can. Allah did not leave his deen, his religion, his cause, and his flag in the hands of those people who do not trust Allah. Only those who trust Allah, Allah has given them the flag of his religion and his cause in their hands. Only those who trust Allah. If I can flip this for you, I will say only those people who have trust in Allah have the responsibility of Allah's deen in their hands. I want you to see this, my brothers, what this means. And we can give you many examples of this in history, but I want to give you an example from what you have experienced in your life right now in this world today. So you understand what it means. Who are the people who trust Allah and who does Allah give the religion to go on with it and to give it to the world? You see, you have two groups of people in this world who have been oppressed right now. There are two groups of people who have been oppressed right now. One have been oppressed a few years ago, and one group is being oppressed right now. That one group, when it was oppressed, when it is being oppressed right now, you see that they are pleading to the world for help. I want you to understand this very well. They are pleading to the world for help. Everywhere you go, they're saying, please help us. Please help us. And the one group that was oppressed, when they were offered help, they said, we don't need anyone's help.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And the message that came from Nasrullah to all the believers is that I just want you to read Josh-e-Saghir for us.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Why? Because our fight is for Allah's cause. We don't need the help of anyone in this dunya. The help we are looking for is from there who wants, who gives the real help to us. My brothers, understand this. This is why when you trust Allah, that is how we know who in whose hands Allah gave his religion to.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Those who don't trust Allah, they say la ilaha illallah, but still the character of Islam is not in them. All Allah is wanting to teach them, this is for your own self right now to understand the situation today. All Allah is trying to teach them, understand the other group, gain the character of Allah, then you will see the help of Allah coming. Then you will see the help of Allah coming. So now if you want to see in whose hands is the deen, then see who has tawakkul in Allah. Those who go to the White House and ask for help. They do not have tawakkul in Allah. Those who trust Allah, they don't go to those places.
SubhanAllah.
Those who have trust in Allah, they don't go to those places. See, understand this, my brothers and sisters, why this is important. Allah is saying, the sign of a Muslim is that he has tawakkul. So if you want to see who has tawakkul, if you see a person who has tawakkul, no, he is the one who is a Muslim. He is the one who is a Muslim. If he doesn't have tawakkul, he cannot be. And when it came to our own life, Allah is saying, in your own life you do that. If Allah does not tolerate you in your own personal matters to go to someone else but him, how can he tolerate if we go in the matters of his deen to those people who are other than Allah?
SubhanAllah.
See, with myself, Allah is saying to us, trust in him, not others. Then when it comes to his deen, when it comes to his cause, how can we go in front of others asking for help for his deen?
SubhanAllah.
Then you know who do not deserve to have Islam in their hands. Those who go and take the deen of Allah and slide it to the mud that they are walking in, it is these people who bring down the image of Islam. Islam is kept alive by those people who do not bow down or spread their hands in front of others asking to help Allah. Allah knows who to ask help from. Even Allah asked help. Allah asked for help. He did not ask the kuffar for help. He did not ask the zalim and the oppressors for help. He did not ask for munafiqeen for help. He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in tansurullah. He says, O you who believe, I have given you this honor that I am asking for your help. I am asking for your help. He asks believers. He looks up to those who believe in Allah, who trust Him, that you help Allah's cause. You help His deen. And this is the reason when we saw what is tawakkul and what and who are the people who trusted in Allah, then we understood the reason why that no matter if the whole world has been lost, but you see, those people who trusted Allah did not ask for help from people. Really. And you know what? There is a slight alteration in the statement I made. Really. We see that there are incidents where the haram of Imam Hussein, who were imprisoned and prisoners and were taken in shackles, did ask for help. And I want you to see this differentiation. But see this differentiation. You know, they were brought in front of Ibn Ziyad. Ladies were brought in front of Ibn Ziyad. The Ibn Ziyad said, Allah has humiliated you. Allah has disgraced you. They did not bow down in front of him. They did not ask him for help. They did not ask Shimmer for help. When they went to Yazid, they were brought there. There also, you see, they stood before Yazid. In fact, threatening him. Imagine, these are prisoners. They are brought as captives. They are brought to the court of Yazid. But you see that over there, they are not asking for help, nor are they bowing down before him. In fact, you see, they are threatening him. And they are being, and for example, you see Hazrat Zainab saying to Yazid, سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Soon those who are zalim will know what is going to happen to their thrones.
Allahu Akbar.
Soon you will know what's going to happen to you. You think you have won? Look at yourself. I mean, look at this. They go there where the emperor is, where the power is. They don't ask for help there. But you see, when they were being brought into Sham, the whole street of Sham were decorated. It was a festive environment. And it so happened that in that whole environment, it was like an Eid, a day of Eid, when the Ahlul Bayt were being brought inside. When they were being brought into Sham. It was like an Eid day there. And in that Eid day, there was one companion of Rasulullah who was going from Hajj. He was on his way to go and make ziyarah to Quds, Baytul Maqdis. And on his way, he had stopped in Sham. And he saw this environment here. He said, what is going on here? Is there a new Eid that I don't know about? What is this day? Why is this place decorated? Why is everyone on the streets? What's all these arrangements for? You know, I mean, imagine the arrangements that were there. And then you would know what the ladies of the household of Rasulullah had to go through. Even before I even come to this, you see, what they had to go through, you know, on the streets, those who have been to Sham will see that street where they came down from. On the streets, you had people who were brought on both sides, and in between, there were dancers and musicians who had been brought there to make the environment festive. And these dancers would dance on the streets, and everyone will be entertained by them until Ahlul Bayt were being brought. And everyone, after looking at this, that environment, imagine how Zainab and Umm Kulsum were feeling and what they were going through at that time. Really, imagine yourself. You see, not having hijab, really, you know, my brothers, I just want to tell you something. It might be hard for some, but you need to listen. Really, I don't know how can anyone who does not wear hijab understand the masaib of Zainab who's not wearing hijab. I don't know how can they cannot understand it. Because the way it is that if she takes her hijab off, she looks like us. How can that be? Only those people who give importance to their own dignity and honor and wear the hijab of that Allah has given them can understand what Zainab is going through. What she is going through can only be understood by them. Now that Zainab is being brought into the bazaar of Sham, in that situation, this companion, Sahl ibn Zayd, comes there and asks, what is this day? Is this some new Eid that is happening? They'll say, no, there are some rebels who rose up against Yazid and he killed them and their captives are being brought. Their captives are being brought. He said, when is this coming? When are they coming? They're about to enter the city. Sahl ibn Zayd goes on the way to the street and he stands over there. And then he sees that first there are lines of horses that are coming with soldiers on them. And behind those horses, behind the cavalry, they have these spears. The spears have heads on them. And these heads were being brought into the city. And people are throwing stones at them. And they are making ridiculing jokes at it and jeering at them. The heads are being brought. He looks at these heads and he says in the hadith that I saw these faces and these faces look so enlightened. They had the sign of prayer on their forehead and the sign of light in their face. I said, who are these people that have been killed? And he goes and asks one of the soldiers, who are these people? Do you know them? They said, go and ask that man in the back. He is the only man in this group. Go and ask him. He goes towards this man in chains. This is Imam Zainul Abidin. In chains and wearing a wooden neck brace that is so heavy But still, you see, he keeps on walking. He's in pain, invisible pain. His neck is being choked. He comes to Imam Zainul Abidin and says that, who are you and what is your background? And the Imam says that, are you a Muslim? He says, yes, I am. Do you believe in Rasulullah? He says, yes, I am the companion of Rasulullah. I was with Rasulullah in such and such battle. And I was with him. And obviously, I know Rasulullah. He says, that Rasul that you believe in, we are the grandchildren of that Prophet. When he heard that, now this is a believer. When he heard that, he was in a complete state of shock. He fell down to his knees because his knees buckled in fear of what is happening. He said, you are the grandchildren of Rasulullah. What a day has come. What a day has come that you have become prisoners. He says, tell me what I can do to help you. Tell me what I can do to help you. Imam Sajjad said, I cannot speak because my neck is choking. Go back there and you will see a lady on that right over there. And you will see her. Go and ask her. He goes up to that camel and he says, I am a companion of the Prophet, your grandfather. Tell me, is there anything I can do to help you? Tell me, is there anything I can do to help you? Now you see, my brothers, Zainab did not ask help from any of these tyrants. But this is a moment. This is a believer. Zainab says, you are a believer. You are a Muslim. Let me ask you for help. Please, the first thing that you can do for us, these heads that are in front of us, they're too close to us. Because of these heads, everyone is turning around and looking at us. Would you please make an arrangement that these heads go further away from us? He said, I will do that. He took whatever money he had in his pocket. All the money he had, he took it to the soldiers. And he says, take this money and take these heads a little bit ahead of these ladies. And when they took the money, they took it ahead. And hence, from that shame, Zainab was saved. Now Zainab said, when he came back and said, please tell me, is there anything else I can do? Zainab said, you know, we are going to the court of Yazid. They want us to go to the court of Yazid. If there is a cloth that you can get so we can hide our shame under that cloth, go and arrange for a cloth so we can wear hijab before we go inside there. And when he heard that, I will come back with the cloth. He went there and he got some clothes, some cloth for them so that they can hide their head and be in hijab. When they saw it, Zainab took it and gave it to the ladies. The ladies started hiding themselves and their shame and their dignity. When they were hiding themselves and going into hijab, then you see Shimr saw this and he came back. Now Shimr, looking at them with hijab, he could not take them like this to the court of Yazid. He came there and again snatched away their hijab from them. Snatched away their hijab. And in this situation, this is how Zainab went into the court of Yazid. My brother and sister, you understand the pain that Zainab is going through at that time. Understand what kind of pain she is going through. And this is Zainab, the sister of Imam Hussein. She is the honor of Ahlul Bayt right now. She was so important. And every one of the ladies understood this, that it is Zainab's honor we have to guard. That is why they made the arrangement that before they go in the court of Yazid, all the ladies surrounded Zainab. They had her in their will. And when they walked in a huddle that Zainab should not be seen by Yazid. They walked in there. When they went inside, then you see that Zainab, who was standing in between them, hiding her face with her hair. Yazid said, who was that lady in the middle? I want her to come out. When she was brought out, then he said, who is this lady? They said, this is the sister of Hussein. He said, so you are the sister of Hussein? You are the sister of Hussein. And now, as they were discussing this, my friends, I just want you to give condolences to the Prophet of the time for the shame that was given for the cause of Islam, for the dignity that was trampled for the cause of Islam. Yazid, when he said, "This is Zainab," and the word of Zainab was raised, the wife of Yazid, and she heard the name of Ahlul Bayt, and she heard the name of Fatima's children. She came out of her room into the hall. When she came out of the room into the hall, Yazid looked at her and he said, "What are you doing out here? Get back inside. Don't you see there are men over here? Don't you see there are men over here?" She looked at Yazid and said, "You are worried about my hijab, but you have taken the veil and hijab of Zainab and Umm Kulthum." Just imagine what Imam Zain al-Abidin is going through. He is looking at this conversation taking place and he turns towards Rasulullah. He says, "Ya Rasul, be a witness what has come to your ummah, that the hijab, that ayat here that came for Fatima and her household. Now Yazid is worried about the hijab of his wife, but not the hijab of Fatima's children." Yeah, but...